I forgot to mention that Sister Tony asked me to mention that her birthday was last Sunday. So any of you that would like to, please let her know that you're glad that she had a happy birthday last week. If you have your Bibles this morning, I would like to ask you to please turn to the Gospel of Luke. I would like to read from Luke chapter 18. I encourage you to look at the Bibles, look at the Word of God. Luke chapter 18. Lord willing, we'll begin with verse 9 and we'll read through verse 14. Luke chapter 18, beginning with verse 9, we'll be reading through verse 14. Before we begin to read and study from God's holy word, I would ask you to please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we lift up our eyes unto the hills from whence cometh our help, knowing that our help comes from the Creator of heaven and earth, the one true and living God, who is all-powerful and all-wise. Lord, we thank you for the bountiful blessings of life. We know that as our Heavenly Father that you've poured out so many blessings upon each of our lives, and we acknowledge that we're not worthy of even the least of thy mercies. It is because of your mercy and grace that you help us and you bless us and you guide us and you lift us up. You bless us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus our Lord. We thank you for the privilege that we have to come together to worship in thy house this day. We thank you for those that have fought for the religious freedom that we have today. And we pray that you would bless those that are on foreign soils and fighting today. You would give them the strength and grace and protection that they need. We also ask thy blessings upon all those who are sick and afflicted. But we pray especially that you'll bless Sister Michelle Street, that you'll touch her body, you'll heal her and lift her up and completely restore her to her health. Bless her family and all the ones that, all of our hearts that are concerned about her. Bless her, bless us, Lord, to have peace in our soul, to know that you are in complete control and that you have her life in your hands. Bless all those that are with child, those who have special burdens and problems, those unspoken prayer requests, be with those who have lost loved ones, all of those, Lord, that stand in great need this day. Bless every congregation, wherever they are assembled together in thy name this day, that they might be filled with the Spirit of God. Thou hast taught us that if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more will our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. So we ask you to bless us and fill us with thy Spirit this day, that we might hear, understand, believe, and obey thy great and holy word. Bless us now, we pray in the name of our Lord and our Savior, our elder brother, the King of kings and Lord of lords, in the precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I'd like to read now from Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 9. The Word of God says, "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess.' And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I tell you, this man," that is the publican, "I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." I want us to think about the last expression in verse 14, where the Word of God says, "Every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." I believe that everybody has a problem with pride. You might not believe that, but if you'll ask God to open your eyes, I think that in all of our lives, that from time to time, pride is a problem that we have. And we need to pray, God, help us to identify the different ways in our lives that we have trouble with pride. Humility is one of the greatest attributes that a person can ever have. To be humble. To be humble before God and to be humble toward one another is a tremendous characteristic of the saints of God. To be humble. And we have an example here. Jesus gives us an example in this parable. He says, two men went into the temple to pray. I want you to notice how that first man prayed. The scripture says that that Pharisee stood, beginning in verse 11, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. I want you to notice that that scripture says that he prayed with himself. I think that's the way sometimes our prayers are, that we're just praying with ourselves. We're not communing with God, but we're just praying with ourselves. That's what the scripture declares about this man. He prayed thus with himself, and he said, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. I want you to know, brethren, that the Word of God says that we are as other men are. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. So it is that the Word of God declares repeatedly that all of God's creation, that every human being that has ever lived, that we are all sinners. And it is not going to be because we have been righteous that we're going to be in the eternal heaven. It's because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's because Jesus has died and saved us from our sins. And a haughty attitude like this man had, when he says, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, that's a prayer that God will not even hear the prayer. Some people think that God hears all prayers. If you want a list of scriptures that will show that there are many times that God will not hear prayers, I'll be glad to give you that after the worship service this morning. But this man prayed with himself and he says, God, I thank you that I'm not as other men are. And then he even looked around in the church and said, I'm not like that publican over there. I'm not even like him. But you know, sometimes in the house of God, sometimes people are so proud and so arrogant and so pharisaical that they'll look down on other people in the congregation. That's just how proud this man was. That he looked over there and saw that publican over there, and he says, I'm glad I'm not like him. I want you to know that that pride will destroy your life. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. God will bring every proud person to their knees. God will not allow his people, he will not allow us as his children, God will not allow us to be full of pride without him bringing us down. I want you to notice again that the text says in verse 14, that last phrase in the text says, the scripture says, everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased. That means that you're going to be brought down to nothing. Everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased. Can you think of anybody in the Word of God that exalted himself? Nebuchadnezzar. Great example was Nebuchadnezzar. You go home and read in Daniel chapter 3, I believe, that Nebuchadnezzar boasted. And he says, oh, look at this great kingdom. Is not this the great kingdom that I have built with my hands and by my might and by my power? And he boasted about what a great kingdom he had built. Did you know that God, though that man was the most important human being as far as natural man could see, Nebuchadnezzar at that time in history was the most powerful man on the face of the earth. Did you know what God did to him because he boasted and was proud and forgot God and did not give glory to God for what he had accomplished in his life? The Scripture says, everyone that exalteth himself shall be what? Abased. It's expressed another way. Everyone that exalteth himself shall be brought down. And Nebuchadnezzar, when he boasted about what a great thing he had done, and the Babylonian Empire was so great, and he was the king of Babylon, did you know that God brought him down? God took the kingdom from him, and he lived as a wild man. And he grew hair long over his body, and his nails grew like eagle's claws, and he was like a wild animal. God brought him down to nothing. You know the amazing grace of God? You know what else God did? God began to lift him back up. And when God began to lift him back up, the Word of God says that he came to himself. You know who brought him to his senses? It was God. It was Christ. God came to him and brought him to his senses, and God began to move in Nebuchadnezzar's heart, mind, and soul. And he says, all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as what? All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He knew then that he, though he was king of Babylon, he knew he was nothing in the sight of God, that he was less than many, many others that were on the face of the earth. And yet he had exalted himself. God brought him down. But if you'll go home and read the rest of that, I believe it's in Daniel chapter 4, you'll read the rest of that chapter, you'll find how God began to lift him up again. God is able to tear down, and God is able to lift up. God is able to tear down those that are proud and bring them down to nothing. God is able to take those that are strong and bring them down to nothing. God is able to take those that are weak and do what? And lift them up. God is able. God is able. Don't ever forget those three words. God is able to lift you up. And God is able to bring you down. That's true of an individual. It's true of a church. You remember the church at Ephesus? Did they think they were a mighty church in Revelation chapter 2? They thought they were a mighty church. In fact, five of those seven churches thought they were mighty churches. God told five of those seven churches, except you repent, I'll spew you out of my mouth. I'll tear you down. You'll be brought down to nothing unless you change. God can bring a church to nothing. God has the power to bring a whole nation right down to its knees. He is a powerful God. He is the sovereign God of heaven and earth. And every time a nation gets proud, that nation will be brought down to nothing. Pride. Everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and everyone that humbleth himself. We need to be an humble nation. You go back and read the Constitution of the United States, and you read some of the other writings of our founding fathers, and you'll find God is the one who has lifted us up. God is the one who has blessed us to be a nation. God is the one who has given us deliverance. God is the one who has given us the victory. Our founding fathers, brethren, were humble enough to know they did not have the ability and power to make this great land. They knew it was the God of heaven and earth who had blessed America. And so it is that we declare to you today that God is able to tear down, and God is able to lift up. Who else can you think of? Let me just think. You know, Nebuchadnezzar is a good example. You remember? Yeah, there's a lot of other ones, aren't there? Yeah, Haman, Pharaoh, all of the different ones. Most of those we think is pretty bad guys. Think about a really good guy in the Bible. Think about somebody in the Bible that you know. I'm gonna ask you this. Do you know an apostle? Now, the apostles were mighty close to the Lord in many ways, weren't they? They were, as far as men go, I think they were men that loved God. And yet one of those apostles, in fact, I'm going to say all of the apostles had a problem. At least on one occasion, they had a problem with P-R-I-D-E, with pride. They had several times they had a problem with pride. The apostles did. You remember how Jesus told them, "You're all going to forsake me." And Peter said, "Oh, though all others forsake you, I'll not forsake you. Everybody else may forsake you, but I won't." You know what that was? You know what was speaking right there? It was pride, pure pride. And what happened to Peter? He not only forsook Christ, the Scripture says in Matthew 27, the Scripture says they all forsook him. All of the apostles forsook him. And yet, brethren, the Word of God says that Peter denied Christ as well as forsaking him, and he cursed and denied Christ. What happened to him? Why was he brought so low as to curse and deny Christ? Why did he become like an enemy to Jesus Christ? It was because he had been so lifted up in vain pride. Have you ever said, have you ever known of somebody that committed a sin and you said, "Oh, I'd never do anything like that"? You know what it is that speaks when you say, "Oh, I'd never do anything like that"? You know what it is that's talking? You know what it is that's talking when you... Let me just ask you this. Is there anybody here, and don't answer out loud, God knows the answer, but is there any husband here that thinks you're better than your wife? Is there any wife here that thinks you're better than your husband? You know what that is? That's pride. Did you know sometimes children think they're smarter than their parents? I well remember when I was 16, 17, 18 years old, I had two old fogey parents. They weren't very smart. My daddy especially. And my mama was sweet and kind, so I thought she was pretty smart. My daddy was tough. And I just thought he was just real, you know, he was way behind time. But I'm telling you, brethren, that was... You know what it was that was in me that caused me to think that I was smarter than my parents? There may be some teenagers here that think you're smarter than your parents. Let me tell you, you fasten your seatbelt, folks. You think you're smarter than your parents, you get lifted up in vain pride, God's going to bring you down. The fact that you're a teenager, pride will not be overlooked by God. Doesn't matter whether you're 5, 15, 25, 55, 75, or 95... Pride will not be ignored by God. So children that think they're better than their parents, pride, pride. Any person who thinks they're better than other nationalities, any person that thinks they're better than other races, you know what that is? It's pride. It's arrogancy. And what does the Word of God say in the text in Luke chapter 18 and verse 14, it says, Everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be lifted up. So Peter was brought down to nothing because of his pride. Pride will destroy our lives. And I want you to remember this, that the last part of that text says, He that humbleth himself. There's a difference. He that humbleth himself. Did you know there's a difference in you humbling yourself and God coming and humbling you? Now, God will humble you if you're full of pride. God will humble you. But the text says, he that humbleth himself. That is, you have the ability, you have the power, you have the responsibility by the grace of God. You must humble yourself. It is human nature to get lifted up in pride. You must continuously be examining yourself, your thoughts, your feelings, and your actions to see, am I full of pride? Do I have pride in my life? You know what we typically do when we find a sin like pride? Let me give you another word, hate. Sometimes people will say, "Oh, I don't hate them. I don't hate them." But you know what they do? They do hate them. They do hate them. Usually. It's like people that say, "Well, I'm not proud." Mm, you're trying to defend yourself about not being proud, you're probably proud. If you think you're humble, I've mentioned this before. We had a man in Columbus when I was pastor there that every time he prayed out loud, he would say, "Oh God, I thank you that I'm so humble." Oh, good gracious. I'd get him off to the side. I'd say, "Listen, you don't realize how proud you are when you stand in the house of God and you pray and you thank God you're so humble. You're not humble if you think you're humble. Every time you think you're humble, you've gotten an ounce, at least an ounce, probably a pound of pride when you start thinking you're humble. There's none of us as humble as we ought to be. We need to all examine ourselves and humble ourselves and pray, God, help me to humble myself. I can't humble myself by myself. It takes the grace of God and the power of God for me to see areas that I am not humble, and I need to pray, God, help me to be humble and help me to humble myself so that you don't have to come and humble me. Because God will come and humble you. You remember when Moses went to Pharaoh? Let's turn back there and look at that just a moment. Turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter. Turn quickly in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 10. Exodus chapter 10, and see what the Word of God says about Moses going to Pharaoh. And do you know what Pharaoh refused? The Bible says he refused. I know he refused to let the children of Israel go, but here's the point behind that. He refused to humble himself. Was he a powerful man? Did he have power? Did he think that he had power over all of Egypt? Did he feel like he had power over all those children of Israel that were under him? Listen, in Exodus chapter 10 and verse 3, the Scripture says, "And Moses and Aaron came in unto Pharaoh and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews." Here's what God said to Pharaoh through Moses. Here's what God said. "How long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me?" You hear what he said? God's asking Pharaoh, "How long will you continue to refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go that they may serve me." Point is that Pharaoh was refusing to humble himself. You know what the next part of this chapter and the next two or three chapters tell us? They tell us step by step how God humbled Pharaoh. God sent plague after plague. He sent one plague and Pharaoh did not humble himself. He sent another plague. He sent nine plagues, and every time Pharaoh did not humble himself. And then was God frustrated, by the way? Was God saying, "Gosh, I've tried that and it didn't work. I've tried that and I don't know what I'm going to do." Some people paint God as some little old man up there who's just so frustrated and he wants to do something but he can't. He doesn't know what to do. Brethren, God was long-suffering even with Pharaoh. And God sent one judgment, one plague after another. And finally, brethren, it came to the point that because Pharaoh had continuously hardened his heart. Have you ever done that? Have you ever continued to harden your heart after you've been warned time and time and time again? And finally, God came and he sent a plague where the firstborn in every house died. Pharaoh's firstborn died. The firstborn in every one of those Egyptian houses, even the firstborn of the cattle, the firstborn of their children, they died. The death angel passed over Egypt, and they died. And the only ones that were spared throughout the land of Egypt were the children of Israel that had taken the blood of the lamb and put it over the doorpost. And the death angel passed over those houses. But in every house where the blood of the lamb was not found, the death angel came and visited that house, and the people died. And it was then that did Pharaoh humble himself? It was then that God humbled him. Can God humble you? God have the power to bring you down? What does the text say in Luke chapter 18, verse 14? "Every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall
be lifted up. Now that, I want us to concentrate on the wonderful part of God not only humbling us, but God, and it's good. I think it's good that God humbles us. Look at Deuteronomy. We're in Exodus. Go forward in your Bibles to Deuteronomy. And I want you to think about the children of Israel. While the children of Israel were in Egypt, they were certainly blessed abundantly by God, even though they were in bondage. But when they left Egypt and they began to go out into the wilderness, was God with them? Was God leading the children of Israel out there in the wilderness? Yes, God was leading them. Do you know what the purpose was of them going hungry and being in the wilderness and all the things that they were going through out there in the wilderness? Do you know what the purpose of all that was? It was to humble them. That's right, to humble them. Do you get more humble when you have big problems? Does everybody hear the question? Do you get more humble when you have big problems? When you have big financial problems, do you get out on your knees? When you have big health problems, whether it's you or a member of your family, do you get out on your knees? Does it humble you? Trials and adversities and problems in our lives, sometimes they come for the purpose of humbling us. And so it is in Deuteronomy. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 8. We'll find that that was the purpose of one of the purposes of God leading the children of Israel in the wilderness and of giving them, of them going hungry and them going without food and water and them thirsting and them being humbled. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, starting with verse 2. Deuteronomy chapter 8, starting with verse 2, the Word of God says, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness." What are the next three words there? He led them 40 years in the wilderness for a purpose. What was it? To humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee. Now, do you see the difference in God humbling someone and the person humbling themselves? If we would humble ourselves, we would not have to be humbled by God. Did the children of Israel have to go through that 40 years of wandering in the wilderness? Was there something the children of Israel could have done that would have kept them from having to wander in the wilderness for 40 years? Yes, there was something they could have done. When they got to the borders of Canaan land the first time, and they got to the borders of Canaan, and they sent in those 12 spies, and the 12 spies came back and said, "It is just like God said. It is a land flowing with milk and honey. It's a land that's abundant, but there are giants in the land, and there are great walled cities there." What could they have done right then? They could have humbled themselves and said, "We are weak creatures. We can't win this battle. But our God is on His throne. And our God is the one who told us to go in. And if we die, we die. We're going to go into the land of Canaan." If they had just humbled themselves under the mighty hand of God, the mighty hand of God would have given them victory in the land of Canaan instead of the mighty hand of God having to bring them down in the wilderness. And so it is with each of us, brethren. There's one occasion in the New Testament where a man came to Jesus, and the Scripture says that Jesus said to that man, He said, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." You're close. You're close. You're so close. What about those children of Israel when they were on the border of Canaan land? Were they close? They were so close, and yet they were so far. All it takes, brethren, for you to be able to enter into the kingdom, not all, one of the things that it takes in order to enter the kingdom of heaven is humility. You cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven without humility. If you're proud, you will not be in the kingdom of heaven. Everybody understands the kingdom of heaven is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. You will not have that righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. You will not have fellowship with God in the kingdom of heaven while you live here in this earth. You will not have fellowship with God when you're proud.
Even the apostles in Matthew 18, they came to Jesus. They came to Jesus and they said, which one of us is the greatest? Can't you just picture that? I think it happens all the time. Which one of us is the greatest? And as they began to question Jesus about which one of them was the greatest, Jesus took a little child and set him in their midst and said to his disciples, he said, except ye be converted and become as little children, become as this little child, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. The disciples, the apostles, who had done great and marvelous work, was there something that could keep even them out of the kingdom of heaven? Yes, it's called pride. 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 Was Jesus humble? Was Jesus humble? Did Jesus humble himself? The scripture says in Philippians chapter 2 that Jesus humbled himself. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8 says that Jesus humbled himself. Now, if you're going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, do you know what you too must do? If Jesus humbled himself and became obedient even unto death, will you humble yourself and be obedient even unto death? Will you give up anything and everything? Will you humble yourself and follow Jesus Christ? If we will, listen carefully in closing, if we will humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, God will lift us up. And that lifting up is not talking about going to heaven when you die. It's talking about being lifted up into the kingdom of heaven right now. You'll be lifted up. It's like Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, that we are blessed to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus our Lord. Have you ever been lifted up into sweet communion and fellowship with God? Have you ever been so low down in the valley that you thought, I'll never see the light again? You ever been down there? You ever been down in the valley? And then have you had Jesus come along and lift you up and put you up on the mountaintop and bless you to be able to feel the great presence and power and see the glory of the Lord in the land of the living? May God help us, brethren, to humble ourselves so that God doesn't have to humble us. And may God help us to know that he that humbleth himself shall be lifted up, is my prayer for Christ's sake. Brother David.
163.
As we stand as we sing number 163, number 163. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died,
my riches gain I count but loss, and for contempt on all my pride, forbid it, Lord, that I
before we dismiss. The Father will bow his to me. Dismiss the prayer. Brother Lee Bush, would you lead some prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for another precious day of life and the ability to worship you, Lord, and to love you and to serve you. And we ask you to protect our country. We thank you for the great country that we live in, the freedoms that we enjoy. We ask you to be with the leaders we can to make the right decisions on our behalf to maintain our freedoms. And we know that we have a lot of work ourselves to do. We ask that the followers vote for the right people to lead us, our country. It's so important, our country, love our country, love our freedoms. Come here. We ask you to be with the servicemen in the Army that give their lives to protect our country. And we ask you the blessings on this church and also the community. I ask your blessings on Pastor Billy Mullins and his family and much needed service in this community. Lord, we ask you to strengthen your word in us. So we can put on that gospel armor to withstand the fiery darts of Satan. Because most of the time we know that we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with spirits in high places, and we need your strength, Lord. Lord, we love you, and we know that every day is a good day. Even it's troubling, because you are the Word, Yeshua, Jesus Christ. We pray. Amen.
Amen.